Gloria, what good is a thumb? What can you use your thumb for? Grabbing stuff? Yeah, it's an opposing digit. Not very many animals have that as we talk about growth. Our thumb is good for that. What else?
Hitchhiking.
Have you ever hitchhiked? It's funny how it always comes up, though. We always think of that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got another one? For writing. Yeah, you can hold a pen with it, right? A cow can't do that. Two hooves doesn't work. Our thumb is a pretty helpful thing. You know what? I have a cool story. Well, I like it anyways. When my family was moving, just before I started grade 7, we were moving from the Eckville area over to Clive area near Lacombe, and we only had a pickup truck. And so back in those days, all six of us rode in the cab. I don't know if it was legal back then, but we did it because that's what we had. But we go over there, so I'm the youngest in my family, and I'm climbing in there, and I reached around the door frame like that to position myself farther into the truck, and my brother slammed the door on my thumb, and it hurt like crazy. I thought I yelled. And he opened the door. He was doing something else, but I got my thumb out of there anyways. Apparently no noise came out of my mouth. I thought I yelled. And then I'm looking at this thing and it's going boom, 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 just throbbing, right? Flattened it right as flatter than that pancake, man. And my thumb just had no, it was just squished it. And so we're just moving. We're in the process of trying to fix up that house as we move. So somebody runs down to the freezer and, well, we don't have our ice down there yet, so I got some frozen bag of cherries or strawberries or something to put on it and went home. But as we watched it over the next while, that whole thumb turned black and then started to fall off in pieces, and I lost the whole thumb. Now that's not the good part of the story yet. Not the whole thumb. Yeah, they sewed it back on. Wow. Lost the whole thumb nail. But when it grew back in, it was like 5 or 6 times thicker than my other thumbnail. I had a Swiss Army thumb. It was cool. I could tighten screws with it. I could do all sorts of, because it was so tough. Even to this day, it's slightly stronger than the other one, but it's lost most of it now. And it had a little wave in there for like decades. It's smooth now, but it had that little divot in there. So anyways, we'll bring up our thumb later. Because believe it or not, we're going to talk about our thumb later. But, yeah, lost my Swiss Army thumb. Don't recommend that way to get it, though. It took a long time to recover. We're talking about growing as followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. Like I said, I'll bring the thumb back into it later, unless I forget, and then you'll have to ask me, what in the world were you telling that story about your thumb for? But growth, this is, we talked about last week, growth that is from God. God brings about the growth, right? One plants, one waters, even these seeds that we had up here. Isn't it still a miracle? Do we ever really get used to this? I mean, we put a seed in some dirt. Soil is the proper term. And, you know, has some water and needs some sunlight and whatever else. And up comes a plant that produces fruit or flowers or something many times over. It's God that does that. He set that in motion. So it's from God. Remember that through this whole series. Growth is from God. What we're talking specifically today about is growth that is rooted. Growth that is rooted. It's rooted in something. We're saying in soil. We're going to look at Psalm 1. It starts out on the negative. We're going to look at, we'll read Psalm 1, verse 1 here. Blessed is the man. Now, don't get caught up on the man. This is just the singular word in the Greek. It's man-ish. And not because it doesn't know if it's man or woman. It's like mankind. It's a representative of all of mankind. Blessed is the person that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. I don't want to spend a long time on the negative part. We're talking about growth, not what hinders growth so much, but these come up. Growth that is rooted, first, refuses the advice of the wicked. It refuses the advice of the wicked. There's many people that will give us advice about how to live life and invite us to be a part of things. Don't take the advice of the wicked. And what are the wicked? The wicked in Scripture are the ones headed the opposite direction of what God created them for. That's what it is. We've all been there, right? The wicked. We've made decisions that are wicked. We've gone our own way. We've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. But there's some that make a habit out of this. We'll get more into this. But don't even take their advice. Tune out to that horrible advice. It will lead you to a whole bunch of trouble and pain. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15 says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it." Like, avoid this like the plague, like something that's going to take your life, because it does rob you of life. Bad advice will lead you down a path you don't want to go on. Turn away from it and pass on. Now, that's not pass on as pass away, but pass by it. Second, growth that is rooted refuses the path of sinners. The passage I just read alluded to that. But if you start taking that advice, start acting on that advice, now you're moving in a direction. And some of those things become habits. We start to believe those lies. This is the way to achieve what I want, what I think I need. Another proverb, Proverbs 1:10, "My son," because he's writing to his son, but applicable to all of us, "if sinners entice you, do not consent." Again, our world would say, hey, this is the way to get rich. This is the way to do this. We are enticed in a lot of ways. We need to be alert to this, where that counsel is coming from and what direction we're actually moving. Because there's grave, grave consequences to this. Growth that is rooted doesn't take their advice, doesn't enter onto the same pathway. And growth that is rooted refuses to sit the seat of scoffers. Because this is progressive. First we start taking in their advice. Then we start acting on it. We're moving the same direction. And a scoffer is someone who sits there and goes, "You believe in God?" Right? I just did, finished. We're partway through a couple. I was doing pre-premarital counseling with a couple. And then they got engaged. So now it's premarital. And they've asked me to officiate their wedding, which will be up near Okotoks. They're not from here. But all their friends are amazed. "What? You haven't slept together yet? That's crazy." The people they work with, they're going, "What? You're putting that off until you're married?" Yeah, this is God's intention for it. And they're committed to walking God's path. They're not accepting their advice. They're not walking down the same path. And a scoffer, the seed of scoffers, we do this long enough, we start to put down those who are following God. Right? I'm sure George and Leora Epp, who just recently went out to Bangladesh, I'm sure there are some people in our community in southern Alberta here that would say they've lost it. What in the world are they doing going over to Bangladesh? And it's crazy, but it's God's leading. And there's people that will call us crazy. They'll call us a lot worse than that. But if we proceed down that path, we start to become the scoffers. What are we going to church for every week? Can't find something better to do on Sunday morning? There's all sorts of things that will come out of this. Proverbs 1:22, "How long, O simple ones, Will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? A fool is one who says in his heart, there is no God. And scoffers fit in that same category, criticizing, condemning those who follow God. Speaking of condemnations, Proverbs 19:29. Condemnation is ready for scoffers. Though we might be condemned by a watching world for following Jesus, the ultimate condemnation is what they will face. We don't want to be a part of that. Don't get on that track. Don't go down that path. And the beating of backs for fools. To do foolish things, there's punishment. Psalm 26:4, do not sit with men or people of falsehood. There's a lot of lies in our society. Don't sit with those who are friends with falsehood, friends with lies. Nor do I consort with hypocrites. There's some grave consequences, and here's the picture. I'm going to jump down to verse 4 to 6 for the picture of someone who starts accepting that advice, starts moving down the path of the wicked, the evil, and then becoming a scoffer. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly. For the Lord knows the way, that is how we live our lives, the way, the path we're on, the direction we're going, of the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish. They might succeed for a time. They might be the richest people in our community. Might have all sorts of stuff. Life might look good for a while walking down the wicked path. But in the end, it becomes like chaff, which is just thrown up in the air. And it's the garbage. It's the junk when grain is harvested that just blows away. It's useless. That's their end. It's a powerful picture here. Threshing. They just throw it up with a fork and it blows away. Now we do it with fancy combines. We don't get to see it. The psalmist here mentions chaff and farming. We see this. It just blows away. So he would walk his oxen around on the grain and it would break it apart and then they'd just throw it up. The good part would fall. You have the straw and the grain and they keep that and use it. And the chaff is just what's useless and blows away. That's the sum total. That's the destination of walking down that path. And we can grow in that direction. We can get better and better at sinning, at going our own way rather than the way God wants us to go. And the chaff represents those whose lives are not rooted in the Word of God. Growth that is rooted is in the Word of God. Now I jumped over a couple verses. We're going to jump back up to verse 2. Blessed are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditate on His law day and night. See, I said we'd come back to our thumb. What good is a thumb? Well, in our whole series on growth here, we're going to walk through our hand so that we can remember it. The Word of God is the first one. It's rooted in the Word of God. That's what we're going to watch this plant do. Be rooted in the Word of God. Now, we got similar soil in these things, so that's not a great... Every illustration will break down at some point. But are we really rooted in the Word of God? We're going to talk about prayer. Are we engaged in relationship in an ongoing way? Purposefully surrendered to His will, not our own, in a life of prayer. Are we growing that life? Are we growing in our obedience to God? When He says, follow me, do we follow? Or do we go, let me figure out. Well, that's what the Bible says, but I'm going to listen to what this person says and that person says, and then I'll decide. We live in an incredibly defiant culture right now where obedience is optional. And it's not for the people of God. He says, I've got great plans for you. I know how I've created you. I'm nurturing you to grow and flourish. But if we don't remain and abide and obey, we will not experience it. We are chaff. Fellowship. We need each other. It's the finger that bears a ring. We need each other. We are the body. We're so individualistic. We're going to counter that. Now, obedience and fellowship, actually in this series, get the least number of Sundays, but they fill out every other Sunday. If we're studying the Bible and we're not actually obeying it, then we're not living out the purpose of it. The written word leads to relationship with the living word. So if we're not praying for a life-changing experience to move in a different direction, we're missing the point of that as well. But those two I'm just going to let flow throughout the whole series. They get touched on, but not as much as Bible and prayer at this time. And then sharing. What's our impact in society? If we're growing, we produce fruit for others, and we'll get into that. See, growth that is rooted chooses to delight in God's word. Growth that is rooted chooses to delight in God's word. The way of the wicked, the chaff, it's not rooted in God's word. But a growing life in God is rooted in the word of God. Absolutely rooted there. Chooses to delight in. This is like when you're first dating somebody and you can't get them out of your mind. Everything. Oh, I wonder what she would think of this if she were here. Right? When we're not with them, we're thinking about them. When we are with them, we're totally consumed with them. This is what this word delight means. We delight in it. We find great joy in it. This longest psalm, Psalm 119, David wrote, right? He's a man known as a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? No. But for the most part, his life was rooted in the Word of God. He writes Psalm 119 as a love letter to the Word of God because he sees the fruit that it produces in his own life and in the kingdom. Growth that is rooted chooses to delight in God's Word. Growth that is rooted chooses to meditate on God's Word. This is a word where we mull it over and chew it up. Almost like a cow chewing its cud. Turn it over, mull it over. We can't do this if we don't have it memorized. I've come across, I'll deal with this in a future week here soon, a different way of praying through the scriptures. But I've started to pray through a psalm in the morning, and then while I do a few stretches or exercises, I'm chewing on that verse. I'm thinking it through. We got to find ways, if we want to be really rooted in Christ, to meditate on God's word, turn it over in our minds, see how does this really apply to us. Because the result is this other verse that I skipped over, 1 verse 3. The person who delights in God's word and meditates on God's word, here's what they're like, as opposed to the chaff. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Always fresh water accessible, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Prosperous. Growth that is rooted results in strength and stability of a tree. We're not blown around by things going on around us. Do you find yourself really impacted by people around us? Things going on in us, even our own emotions at times, where we're just blown and what's going on in life? We feel unsettled. Growth that is rooted, someone's life who delights in God's word, meditates on God's word, produces this strength and stability and a fruitfulness. We produce fruit that's good for others to enjoy. And beauty. Think of a tree by a stream. And refreshing shade. All of these things are found in the one who delights in the Word of God and meditates on the Word of God. Let me ask, are you rooted? What What are you rooted in? Really, really rooted, right? We all have 24 hours in a day. How are we spending those? We can spend so much time engaged in all sorts of other things. So much time in how we look on the outside. Or do we spend some time in what's actually we're rooted and planted in? See, to the degree that we delight in God's word is to the degree to which we will flourish and prosper as God created us to. His word roots us and grounds us. It's to that same degree a delighting person has strength and stability in the storms of life, that we manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Right? They're fruits of the Spirit. We don't get more patient by trying to make ourselves more patient. We get more patient by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The written word that we're rooted in, delighting and meditating on, leads us to the living word who brings about transformation in our lives. The prophet Jeremiah uses similar imagery of a believer and an unbeliever. A believer, again, is being like a flourishing tree, growing strong and being able to provide fruit for others. But the unbeliever, those who don't follow God, is like a shriveling shrub out in the desert, is Jeremiah's language for it. I think of that little shrub that grows, and then when it breaks off, it becomes the tumbleweeds that get caught in the fence. Who wants their life to be a stinking tumbleweed? Well, I don't know if they stink or not, but it's pretty useless. Right? Is that as high as we want to aim? Or do we want to be a tree? Beauty. See, Jesus himself brought this distinction. We sung about it in our first song, the two builders. We can build our lives on the sand, and it gets washed away like the chaff. Gone. To what impact? Or we can build it on the rock, right? What are we rooted in? Something firm and secure, like Jesus. The difference is how we respond to God's word. Growth that is rooted in the word of God. I think of Dr. Chuck. He's one of my seminary profs. He's absent from the body, which means he's present with the Lord now. Incredible man of God. He's teaching seminary. He was, I don't know, 66, 67, still teaching full time when I was in seminary there. I'm glad he was. Very much impacted my life. I don't know if I've ever met a more disciplined man with the Word of God. He was up every morning about 5 o'clock studying the Word of God. He had his doctorate in it. He could have just went, oh yeah, I know it well enough. But he didn't. He's up every morning studying. And he would put on the full armor of God. Not literally, but figuratively. He would think that through and he would go into his day as a minister of the gospel. And he was rooted and grounded. Even some of the other seminary profs there, something big would happen in their life and they'd be kind of all shaken and shifting around, and he was just this solid rock. A couple years later, when he was facing cancer, it didn't shake his life all that much. He was just so rooted and grounded. It was startling to be around him. You want that kind of life? It's open to all of us. He's not superhuman. He doesn't have the cape on either. But he was disciplined and he delighted in the Word of God and he meditated on the Word of God and he let God produce the fruit. It's growth that is from God and growth that was rooted over time that we saw in Dr. Chuck's life. I think I've shared some of this before, but I really want to share it again. Bernie Smith, man, wild, passionate teacher. He used to teach at BLTS, not bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. I know, I watched the time. We're all getting hungry and terrible of me to mention that. It was the Baptist Leadership Training School in Calgary. and he would be do some itinerant teaching as well as at the school, and he challenged a whole group of university students, secular university, wasn't at a Bible college, to take the Word of God seriously, to actually make changes in their lives. See, because unless we make this really concrete, this is the time, and carve out that time, we can go, yeah, I should. I should engage the Word of God more. I should memorize, meditate on it. And we walk out of here and we haven't changed nothing. He says, make some actual concrete changes in your life. Take the Word of God seriously and see what happens. Is God's Word true? I got some head nods. Maybe that's as good as we get in MB, right? Pentecostal church. Amen, brother. Yeah, sister. I saw the internal response there. It's true. We're either going to be like chaff, increasingly like chaff, or increasingly like the tree. And the difference is our response to God's Word. And he said, make some changes. They're busy university students, right? They're scheduling whatever else. Some of them did. Some of them started memorizing. Some of them got up earlier to study. Remember it says, whatever they do prospers. Right? He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. They found every area of life they were doing better. They were more healthy. They were thriving as they were intended to, created to. And whatever he does prospers. It's funny, those that dedicated more time to Scripture, neglecting their studies, so-called, their grades went up. They prospered. God's not kidding here. When we put him first in our lives, everything else gets aligned as it was intended to. What are you rooted in? Are you willing to grow? It means changes. We're going to say no to something to say yes to something else. What are you really rooted in? Come back to the thumb. That's the Bible. I'm going to go through the whole hand, but it's pointing at us. What are we going to do? What's our response to the Word of God? Every time you see a thumb this week, every time you use your thumb to pick something up, let that be a reminder that, wow, I'm either going to become increasingly strong and thriving, or increasingly like tumbleweed or chaff. What am I rooted in? And if we don't make some choices, you know what? This might scare us a bit, but I think God loves us enough. Maybe we'll be the next one with a story of a finger closed in a drawer because we've forgotten about it. We've forgotten to act on what we know. And God loves us enough to go through some pain to remind us. So may you close your finger in a door this week. Unless we make some adjustments. Because he's invited us to grow. We are his body. And we're connected to the head. And it's a growth that is from God. And it's also a growth that needs to be rooted. And in that we have some the decisions to make. Many of them. Lord Jesus. Oh, we look forward to what you do, God. But sometimes that choice to give up something, it feels uncomfortable, unnatural. But we believe you more than we believe ourselves, God. Would you lead us and guide us? We want to be followers of yours, seeking to glorify you and to grow as that, to grow, to be better followers of you, not of our own effort, Jesus, but in being more rooted this year so that you would be more glorified this year. Give us the courage to make those changes and bring to our minds those specific details in life where we have decisions to make. We ask in your name. Amen.